The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
A new housing affordability study has been released that revealed rent affordability decreased drastically in Perth in the past year, more so than in Sydney and Melbourne. Joining me now to make sense of this is REWA President Damien Collins. Good morning, Damien.
Good morning, Ben.
And so what do you make of this new report? Are things as bad as it seems?
Well, they're certainly not bad overall, and I think that's got to be kept in context. The fact that the study showed affordability had got worse in Perth is certainly no surprise. We all know that rents are up about 15 or so percent over the last 12 months, so there's hardly anything new in that analysis. But important to remember that in Western Australia, on average, we pay about 19% of our income on rent. In New South Wales and Tasmania, it's about 30%, so that's 60% higher than we are. So I certainly feel that, for some people, it's been a challenging 12 months as rents have risen, but we need to keep it in context that for the vast majority of people, our rents are cheaper than they were in 2014, and we are the cheapest place in the country to rent.
And so I'm just thinking about what is driving these increases. Is some of it due to, I guess, a snapback after the end of the rental moratorium during COVID?
Oh, there was certainly that. The rental freeze, which effectively it was, you couldn't put rents up, you couldn't move tenants on in the vast majority of cases. So what happened there was investment in housing plummeted. We saw investors just disappear completely, and unfortunately, that moratorium, amongst other factors, has certainly turned off a lot of investors from coming back into the market, and some investors have left as well. So we're really sitting in a very serious shortage of rental properties, and we need the private sector to come back. In WA, the private sector, or across the board, there's 240,000 rental properties, and the private sector about 85% of that. So without the private sector investment, the government's going to have real challenges providing social housing. I know they've put in place 3,000 properties over the next 4 years. That's a great move, but it's costing them nearly $1 billion. And this of 240,000 total rental properties is still a drop in the bucket.
Well, let's talk about supply and demand, because that's always seems to be one of the biggest factors when it comes to anything to do with real estate. And I'm hearing that some houses are being leased within 18 hours of being listed. It is a super hot market at the moment. Just how dire is the supply of rental properties?
Yeah, it is very significant, Ben. We're at a vacancy rate still around that, near that 40-year low. Our last measure was 0.9%, not as quite as bad as the November 2020 figure of 0.8%, but historically very, very low. And, one of the other challenges we've got is the housing construction sector just can't produce enough housing. We will have a some respite when all the housing that was taken up with the government grants is completed. Now, in normal circumstances, those grants that were taken up in middle, late 2020, those houses will be finished now, but given the dire challenges of labour shortages in construction, it's really not till 2022 we're going to start to see the bulk of that housing come through. That will certainly help the supply, because that'll be new housing that tend to already sitting in houses waiting to move and waiting for the houses to finish will move into. But nonetheless, if we do see a big population increase next year with open borders, that's going to continue to put pressure on the housing market. We need investors to come back. They are certainly back in a better way than they were 18 months ago, but there's still that nervousness around changes to tenancy laws and obviously the outlook for the property market overall.
And we've talked about investors staying away from the market a few times when we've spoken in the past. What do you think the situation is like at the moment? Are we seeing some of those buyers coming back into the market in the selling side of things?
Well, look, we are seeing investors return, but not anywhere near what you would expect. I would expect in this sort of market, you would see investors about 35% of all purchases. At the moment, we're seeing it around about 20%. And investor finance figures sitting around $500 million a month. Normally, you would see that in this sort of very hot market, low vacancy rates, rising rents. You'd see it at $1 billion a month. So that's, again, about half of what we would expect. And at the same time, we still have investors who perhaps bought 6, 7, 8 years ago who've seen effectively no overall growth. Yes, it's grown in the last 12 months, but the previous 6 years they went backwards. They've sort of had enough now, and obviously that rental moratorium was the icing on the cake for them, and said, I just don't want to stay in this market. So it is a real challenge. Ultimately, we've got to encourage investment in property and certainly make renting, while you've got to protect tenants and have laws to some degree to protect tenants, the more challenging you make it for property investors, the less likely they are to invest, and the higher the rents will go. So it's got to be a happy balance between the tenant rights and protecting tenants and making it desirable for people to invest in property.
Now, the other big property story this week was the idea that Perth could be facing a hefty drop in property prices. According to the Commonwealth Bank, which has tipped housing values could fall 9% in 2023. What did you make of that?
Well, Ben, I did have a bit of a choke on my coffee when I read that. Also pulled out CBA's comments in 2020 that we were going to drop between 11 and 32% in the pandemic, and that didn't happen either. Look, I as I sit here today, I just cannot see that's any chance likely to happen based on the facts and information we have right now. Now, they're forecasting it based on interest rate rises. Absolutely, that's going to happen, whether it's 22, 23, 24. But we sit in a market with a massive shortage of rental properties, a very significant shortage of housing for sale, a very strong economy, jobs, skill shortages in substantial numbers, open borders coming, meaning an influx of population. How much that will be, we don't know. But if that all, if the economy remains strong and jobs, skill shortages are there, people are coming into state and seeing population growth, I just don't see that any chance happening at all. We could certainly slow down and maybe even get to plateau. But to talk about 9 or 10% declines when we've barely got out of first gear in our recovery just doesn't stack up. And unfortunately, what I do see with some of these national economists is they lump, once if Sydney and Melbourne are going down, which their forecast will, everywhere else must go down as well. It doesn't work that way. Perth is known to be very counter-cyclical. In fact, over the last 5 years, we've gone nowhere, and Sydney and Melbourne have gone up a lot. So we don't always just follow exactly what they do. I certainly don't see that happening at all. Yes, we could certainly slow down and, as I said, maybe even plateau, but the chances of 9% decline based on the facts and information today seem very unrealistic to me.
Yeah, I've got to say I tend to agree. REWA President Damien Collins, great to speak with you as always. Thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Thanks, Ben.